So today we're continuing on with Luke as he tells the story of Jesus on the road to the cross. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word up, help us to understand this passage, and may you use me to speak clearly to help this in this understanding. Amen. Now, kids, there's an activity sheet up there where Josh is, if you want to grab one of those. And there'll be a couple of spots during the talk where I'll just let you know what to look for. So, have you ever been to a surprise party? Were you the one being surprised? Or were you doing the surprising? I remember a few years ago when it was my 30th birthday. My wife Pam had gone to visit her parents, and that afternoon she rang me up and asked if I'd come and pick her up, which of course I said yes. I arrived to find a room full of friends and family. Surprise was complete. It was that complete that I arrived in t-shirt, shorts and thongs, as my birthday's in mid-November. But it ended up freezing that night, and I just got colder and colder as the night went on. Now, there's a bit of a surprise party going on here in Luke as well, but it's not Jesus who's going to be surprised. We've got the organisers of the Last Supper, Peter and John, who have no idea of how they're going to do this. Jesus sends them on what seems like a treasure hunt. Jesus tells Peter and John to enter the city and they would find a man carrying a jar of water, and that he would lead them to a house where they would find the upstairs room that they would eat the Passover meal. It seems like a hard way to get a meal prepared. Jesus is going to length here to make sure his meal is going to be undisturbed. He knows that Judas has conspired with the priests and the Pharisees to betray him. Judas knows the Passover supper will be an ideal time for this. But Jesus knows what's in Judas's heart. He doesn't want to be disturbed during the Passover meal, so he keeps the location very secretive. What we're seeing here is Jesus in total control of what's going on. And today we're going to look at the idea of Jesus as the Passover lamb. This party, this Last Supper, is going to show us a few things. Jesus is about to do something significant. And we're going to look at what was the Passover, Jesus at the Passover, and Jesus as the final Passover lamb. What was the Passover? Jesus at the Passover. And Jesus, the final Passover lamb. Now the story starts as Jesus and his disciples make preparations for the Passover meal. So what was the Passover? The Passover is what the Jews called the festival of the unleavened bread. And that was something they'd been celebrating for around 1,500 years by the time of Jesus' ministry. And it's a long time, and most of us would have trouble to find a continuing history that goes back that far. Hard to comprehend. Most of us would find it difficult to be able to go back past our grandparents or our great-grandparents, probably no more than 150 years. But here we find the Jews celebrating a festival that goes back 10 times that, back to their time in Egypt when they were slaves. God is bringing the plagues on Egypt to get Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. But Pharaoh continually refuses to let them go. So God decides to bring one final plague on Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. from Pharaoh to the slaves and even the livestock. Now, God gives Moses instructions on what the Israelites must do to avoid this happening to them. Now, kids, if you go to the second page, we'll have a look at what happened at that first Passover. His instructions are to take a one-year-old lamb without defect, when to kill it, how to prepare it for eating, what to do with the blood, and how they are to eat it. God is letting them know he is in control. They'll be okay as long as they do what they're told. And through the sacrifice of this unblemished lamb and the sign of the blood, the Israelites will have salvation from this coming final and horrendous plague, and ultimately free them from slavery in Egypt. God also gives them instructions to keep doing this every year. In Exodus 12, verses 24 to 27, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe the ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. We can see why the Passover was such an important festival for the Jews. And Jesus is a good Jew and wants to share the Passover with those closest to him. And that'll bring us to Jesus at the Passover. This will be Jesus' last supper, the last Passover meal. And Jesus is about to do something important, something new, as he celebrates the Passover with his disciples. We saw earlier that Jesus had given Peter and John instructions for getting the Passover meal organised. And we can see in verse 13, they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. Of course, on top of that, they had to find a lamb and some bitter herbs. Anyway, they obviously got it all together. And when the time for the meal came, Jesus and his disciples were in the upstairs room, reclined at the table. And we've seen through this series on Luke, Jesus taking meals with a number of different people. And these meals have been organised by others, and Jesus has been invited. But here at this Passover meal, which is probably his last before he was crucified, and definitely the last supper with his disciples, it was Jesus organising it. Jesus says to his disciples in verse 15, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. Now, I don't think Jesus was really hungry here and needs a feed. Jesus knows this is his last meal before his death. He is eager to share it with those closest to him. Firstly, because of that closeness. But also, it's one of his last chances to get across to them why he is here. Why he has to suffer. And what's to come? The main event is nearly on them. From the time Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, when he was still in Galilee, he was building for the main event, and now they're on the eve of that event. And if you think about it, over the years, thousands of men and women have had a last meal before they've gone to their deaths, knowing that was their last meal. They might have been condemned criminals. Some might have died for their countries. And others, we know, have died for their faith. None of these people would have known from the beginning that this would be their fate. Jesus knows, though. He knows this was the plan all along and has followed through. And now he's on the eve of the culmination of his mission. But before all this happens, he wants to share the Passover, the Last Supper, with his disciples. In verse 16, Jesus tells his disciples he will not eat the Passover meal again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And there's a repetition of this when Jesus takes up the cup in verses 17 and 18. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Is this the end of the Passover? Jesus has said to his disciples, "I'm going to take this meal, but I will not enjoy it again until the kingdom of God is here." But in verse 19, he changes tack. The Passover meal is being renewed, refocused, taking something old and making it new. He takes the bread and he breaks it, telling them, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he takes the cup and tells them, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you." Jesus asked them to do this in remembrance of him. How similar is this to God instructing the Israelites to remember to keep the Passover? To do this so they don't forget. But this isn't the end. It's a new beginning. Jesus is about to bring in the new covenant with his blood. The amazing thing about the Last Supper is that it could have had a real somber feel about it. Instead, it's one of calmness and Jesus in control. We see the Passover meal being celebrated while Jesus, the once and for all Passover lamb, is preparing himself to be offered. Jesus knows that it was always God's mission for him to come to Jerusalem, to be the true and perfect once and for all Passover lamb, and to be sacrificed for the sin of the world, for our sin. Jesus became the once and for all Passover lamb so that we could be part of God's kingdom. Now, I remember being on holidays on the central New South Wales coast a number of years ago. I'd gone down to the beach after lunch for a swim. It was great, I was enjoying myself, but all of a sudden I found myself with two others getting pulled out and sideways. We were caught in a rip. Now, the other two were a little bit closer to shore than I was, and they managed to get out of the rip, but I couldn't. I had no control. After deciding that I wasn't going to get out of this on my own, I put my hand up out of the water so the lifesavers could see I was in trouble. One of them grabbed his board, paddled out, and got me. I couldn't have thanked him enough. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for Jesus to be the perfect Passover lamb? What does it show us about him? And what does it mean for us? This shows us as we look not just at this passage from today, but the whole part of Luke we've been looking at this term, and see the calmness and resoluteness of Jesus through this whole time. Jesus is the perfect example of faithfulness. He doesn't waver from God's plan. But what about us? Most of us tend to do what we want. We want to be in control until we're caught in that rip and we need a lifeguard. A lot of us treat God like the lifeguards on the beach. He's only there if we need him. We're going all right. We don't need God. Then the wheels fall off. We get sick, or somebody close to us does. Life's not going as we planned it. And we can see this down through the ages as well. Look at the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. God hears their groans and he frees them. He does more than that. He makes them his people. And then we see time and time again, they turn away from God. Things don't go well for them. And they cry out to God. God saves them. We are so inconsistent when it comes to God. But not Jesus. Jesus was faithful. We can't be faithful as Jesus because of our sin. That's why Jesus is the perfect, once and for all, Passover lamb. And what does that show us? What does it mean for us, for Jesus to be the Passover lamb? The Last Supper was a meal that Jesus wanted to celebrate with his disciples, as it was one they had celebrated in Israel for 1,500 years, in memory of when God's hand passed over them and spared their firstborn and rescued them from slavery in Egypt. And he commanded the Israelites to celebrate that event every year. As we saw in Exodus 12, 24, 25, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. God is asking the Israelites to remember what he's done. Through the sacrifice of that unblemished lamb and the sign of the blood, God saved their firstborn. And he's asking them to remember that he saved their firstborn in Egypt and brought them out of slavery. He saved them. We go forward 1,500 years, and Jesus and his disciples are sitting down and remembering the Passover and what it represents. And Jesus does something that's not in the ritual of the meal. Jesus wants his followers to now remember him as the one who brings God's salvation, a salvation from death and slavery once again. Death and slavery because of sin. He is what the Passover meal was always pointing forward to. In verse 19 he says, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in verse 20, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Jesus has not only linked himself to the Passover here, but is telling them that the covenant of the Old Testament has served its purpose. Jesus is establishing a new covenant that will be through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. And he's asking them to remember him and remember what he's done. And this is how we're linked to that event. The Passover meal is celebrated for 1,500 years until Jesus and his disciples celebrate it at the Last Supper. Now Christians have been celebrating the Last Supper for 2,000 years as the Lord's Supper or communion. And as Christians, we remember what was done for us through his death on the cross. And that's exactly what we do when we celebrate communion together, which we did a few weeks ago. Now, he wants us to remember, and physically taking part in the Lord's Supper is a way of helping us do that. For us, sometimes I think living 2,000 years after all this happened makes it easier for us to see what was happening. But it's also easy for us to forget. Or for Jesus' death on the cross to feel vague or intangible. Imagine being one of the disciples and listening to Jesus at this time. They've come to realise that he hasn't come to set up a kingdom and throw out the Romans. But they'd still be a little unsure of where everything was heading. Is this the end? They understand there is a kingdom, but they're unsure of what form it's in and where it is. And for us, it can be a little bit like that. Although for us, it's not that we don't get what the kingdom of God is. It's more we don't see a physical kingdom. Just like the disciples, we long to see Jesus' kingdom. Now we're told the kingdom of God is near. But we don't see it. Or do we? I was talking to Mitch about this before he went on leave. And he said, it's like standing on a cloud-covered mountain. Every now and then, when the clouds part and we get a glimpse of what's there. And that's what it's like for us. Every now and then, we get glimpses of God's kingdom. Like when we meet together like this in praise and worship of God. When we do this, we can feel uplifted. We can feel God is with us and listening to us. We're here with our brothers and sisters as God's family, his kingdom. And when we get together and remember what God has done for us through Jesus by joining together in the Lord's Supper, the bread, the broken body of Jesus, the grape juice, Jesus' blood poured out for us. These are real, tangible reminders that we hold in our hands together, just as Jesus and his disciples did, to remind us of the reality of Jesus and his kingdom, to point us to the spiritual reality of what Jesus has done for us, to help us keep our eyes and hearts fixed on the kingdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have taken the Passover and renewed it with a new covenant through Jesus' blood poured out, and that we can see that the original Passover was pointing to Jesus as the once and for all Passover lamb to be our Saviour. Amen.